Welcome to all those joining us for the Shir in Chayim Oharan. We're continuing in the topic of Rabbi Nazal's birth and the earliest stage of his life. For those that are following along in Chayim Oharan, it's paragraph 112, Kuf Yud Beis, in the chapter on his birthplace, residence, and travels. We dedicate the learning today, Leilui Nishmas, Tuvia B'Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak, Yerachmiel Daniel Ben Gedalia, David Yisrael Ben Ephraim, and Rosa Bas Itamar. In addition, we dedicate the learning Leilui Nishmas Avram Yitzchok ben Aharon, whose yahrzeit is today on the 28th of Iyar. We're up to the part where Rabbi Nazal went to the city of Medvedivka, and there people from the surrounding villages started coming to him, and they established a salary for him, a rental, a certain amount of money for every week, so that Rabbi Nazal's parnasa was taken care of. And there Rabbi Nazal had peace, quiet, no opposition. And there people started coming close to him and becoming attached to him. Even from a distance of 200 kilometers surrounding the area, the people from the city of Dashiv became a Kuruv to him at the time, especially one of his major students, Reb Yudel, who before he came to Rabbi Nazal, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a Mekubo. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, anyone that came close to Rabbi Nazal at the time was filled with Yirah Shamayim, deep respect for Hashem, and he was successful in getting many, many people to do tshuva. In Medvedivka also, there was a little bit of opposition, but Rav Nosson Zal writes, the opposition basically bowed to him. There were some incidents with the rabbis there, but Rav Nosson Zal says he's not aware of exactly what that was about. From Medvedivka, that's when Rabbi Nazal made his trip to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to speak about that at length in subsequent weeks in Yetzer Hashem. Upon returning from Eretz Yisrael, that was when Rabbi Nazal made a shidduch with his daughter, Odel, his oldest daughter, with the great Reb Avrom Doiv of Chamelnik, with his son. And upon returning from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nazal lived in Medvedivka for more than a year. When he got back from Eretz Yisrael, he traveled immediately to the city of Lodi to see the Balatanya, Reb Shneur Zalman of Lodi, and spoke to him at length about the communities in Eretz Yisrael. Because when Rabbi Nazal was there in Eretz Yisrael, he met with Rabbi Avram Kalisker, the other rabbis there, and they pleaded with him to try to see if he could help make peace. At the time, there was a major difference of opinion in how the monies that were being sent from Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael, how it should be portioned, who should be in charge, who should be responsible for it. And Rabbi Nazal, when he returned from Eretz Yisrael, even before he went home, he went immediately to the city of Lodi to meet with the Balatanya to see if he could help smooth things out. In addition, Rabbi Nazal visited Reb Mordechai Mineshchiz, one of the great leaders, Hasidic leaders at the time, who was a student of Rabbi Yechiel Michal Mizlachev, And Rabbi Nizal came to him 5 days before Reb Mordechai passed away. And Rabbi Nizal rushed very, very quickly to try to catch him while he was still alive. And sure enough, he came shortly before the rabbi passed away. And the great love and happiness that Reb Mordechai had for Rabbi Nizal, from Rabbi Nizal coming to visit him, Rabbi Nizal says, is indescribable. Because Reb Mordechai had been sick, a very, very severe sickness, for a year, for a long period of time, and for a half a year, he was bedridden to the point where he couldn't have any light come into the room. Any light was difficult for him to be able to handle, and didn't get out of bed at all, and couldn't eat anything that was cooked. He couldn't even handle the smell of food. And they had to filter, they had to if they wanted to serve him soup, they had to filter it many times in order to make it as thin as possible for him to be able to eat it. But still, they couldn't cook it, they couldn't prepare it in the house because he couldn't handle the smell of food. He had a very, very severe sickness. And when Rabbi Nizal came to him, as soon as he heard that Rabbi Nizal was going to be coming, he was filled with tremendous joy, and he said that mamash, he revived me. And sure enough, he received Rabbi Nizal with tremendous respect and love. And they discussed, the topic that they discussed at the time was marois and chezyonos, visions that the great tzaddikim had at the time, visions of things going on in heaven. And they spoke especially about the angel, the Malach Memtes, the angel that's mentioned in the Gemara, Matat, one of the highest angels in heaven. Afterwards, Rabbi Nizal traveled to the city of Medvedevka, and there, a number of people from surrounding villages came to see him and to come close to him, and they set up a fund of a rental, a certain amount of money that Rabbi Nizal would receive weekly, and there Rabbi Nizal had pretty much a peaceful existence. And people started coming close to him from distant, from areas even 100 to 200 kilometers away from him. The people from Dashev, Reb Yudel Zal and Reb Shmuel Isaac, famous students of Rabbi Nachman, were zeicher to become a kuruv and came close to him during that time that he was in Medvedevka. And anyone who came close to him, it was that you saw a major change in their level of respect for Hashem, in their tshuva process. And even while Rabbi Nizal was in Medvedevka, there was some opposition, but the opposition shrank away compared to the people that had respect for him and were coming close to him. There were also some incidents with the Rabbanim there, but Rabbi Nizal says, I'm not familiar with exactly what that was about. It was during the time that Rabbi Nizal was living in Medvedevka that he made his trip to Eretz Yisrael. And upon returning from Eretz Yisrael, that's when he made his first shidduch with his daughter, Odel, with Rabbi Avram Doiv of Chamelnik, who was one of the leading Hasidic leaders at the time. And upon returning from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nizal continued to live in Medvedevka for about a year. As soon as he got back from Eretz Yisrael, he traveled to the city of Lodi, where the Balatanya lived, and spoke a lot with him about the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Because during the time that Rabbi Nizal was there, the people in Eretz Yisrael pleaded with him to try to intervene and to try to smooth out the relationship between the Balatanya and Rabbi Avram Kalisker, who were two of the giants at the time in the world of Hasidus. and there was a difference of opinion between them regarding the monies that were being sent from Chutz Laretz, from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, to support the people in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal says there's a lot of stories to tell about what took place during that trip and while he was there and upon his return. And again, we'll have more detail on this later on in the Sefer. In addition, on that trip, Rabbeinu Zal went to see Reb Mordechai Mineshchiz, who was also one of the giants in the world of Hasidus at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal went to him 5 days before the rabbi passed away. And Rabbeinu Zal traveled very, very quickly because he wanted to make sure to catch him before he passed away. And sure enough, he did. And Rav Nosson Zal writes the incredible love and joy that the rabbi had at Rabbeinu Zal coming to visit him is indescribable, because he had been very, very sick before he passed away. For about a half a year, he was bedridden and didn't allow any light to enter into the room, couldn't handle any light. Didn't get out of bed, couldn't eat anything, couldn't even handle the smell of food. And if they wanted to give him anything, they had to refine it, even soup, in order to make it very, very thin liquid in order for him to be able to handle it. And in the house, they weren't allowed to bring any cooked food into the house because he couldn't handle the smell. And yet when Rabbeinu Zal came, when he heard that Rabbeinu Zal was coming, he was filled with joy, and he received Rabbeinu Zal with tremendous respect and ahava. And the discussion between them was about visions that tzaddikim saw, angels that tzaddikim were able to see, and they spoke especially about the chief angel in heaven, the Malach Memtes. Then Reb Mordechai requested that a meal be prepared for Rabbeinu Zal in his house, even though for 6 months they weren't allowed to bring any cooked food into the house. Still, the tremendous love that he felt for Rabbeinu Zal, he asked that they prepare a suda, a beautiful suda for him, and Rabbeinu Zal was seated at the head of the table. Reb Mordechai picked himself up, went out of his bed, and dressed in a chalat, in a special garment, like a Shabbos garment, that was stitched with golden threads. And he came in and sat at the table out of respect for Rabbeinu Zal, which for 6 months he hadn't done that. Rabbeinu Zal also spent Shabbos in his home. And Reb Mordechai insisted that he eat in his home for Shabbos. Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to, but the rabbi insisted so much that Rabbeinu Zal accepted. And Reb Mordechai sent money for a pigeon to Rabbeinu Zal. He sent 10 adumim, which it seems is a substantial amount of money. However, Rabbeinu Zal saw that in order for Reb Mordechai to have a refuah, it would require him giving away all of his money. And that wasn't possible. And Rabbeinu Zal understood that Reb Mordechai would have to pass away. Now, Reb Nosson Zal writes that one time when I was visiting the city of Kremenchuk, I heard from one of the people there who heard from his father, who was the shamish of Reb Mordechai, when Rabbeinu Zal was there. And he said that Reb Mordechai showed tremendous respect for Rabbeinu Zal, and despite the fact that he was so weak, he accompanied him out of the house. He walked him out of the house when Rabbeinu Zal left. And then afterwards, when he came back into his house, he said, "If I had come to the world just for this, just that Rabbeinu Zal should come into my home, it was worth it." In addition, on that trip, Rabbeinu Zal also visited Reb Tzviaye from Alek, one of the great Hasidic leaders at the time. And again, the discussion was about Maros and Chizyonos, speaking about visions, different visions that Tzaddikim were able to see. And because Rabbeinu Zal did not agree with these rabbis about how they perceived, how they said they saw these malachim and these visions. And they had major arguments. Rabbeinu Zal had major arguments with Rav Mordechai Meneshchiz, who was very well known on this topic, that he spoke about these maros and chizyonos. Rav Nosson Zal says, unfortunately, I don't know the actual arguments that they had. However, Rabbeinu Zal, I know that Rabbeinu Zal was adamant that you don't see the malachim the way they described they saw them. Now, one time, Rav Mordechai Meneshchiz sent a message to Rabbeinu Zal, and he said, tell Rabbeinu Zal that before he came into the city, I saw the Malach Memtes, and this is exactly how I saw him. And he described the fact that Imamish saw him not just not in his sleep, but actually while he was awake. And Rabbeinu Zal said, that's not how one sees the Malach Memtes. And then Rav Mordechai again said, but I saw like this and this, and Rabbeinu Zal still wouldn't agree. And he said, that's not the way a person sees this angel. I saw him differently. And that's the way a person, people that could see the angel would see him. And Rav Nosson Zal says, I know that there were many issues related to this, but I wasn't zeche that Rabbeinu Zal should discuss this with me. Just that he said that he the only thing that I heard from him was that he had visited the Meshchiza Rebbe. Rabbeinu Zal also told me stories that he heard about how Rav Mordechai Meneshchiz first came to his Rebbe, Rav Michal Mizlachev. And then Rabbeinu Zal again, we said, went to see Rav Tzviaye from Alek, and he had heard Rav Tzviaye from Alek had heard about the arguments between Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Mordechai Meneshchiz regarding this topic of chizyonos, because it seems that this was something that was known at the time. And when Rabbeinu Zal came to the Rebbe of Alek, he spent Shabbos there, and also this was a major topic they spoke about. And at each one of the meals, Rav Tzviaye from Alek said Torah, and the Torah that he spoke and the stories that he told were all related to these types of maros, seeing angels, seeing holy visions. And Rav Tzviaye ben Alek wanted to show that he really does see. And yet Rabbeinu Zal did not agree, and Rabbeinu Zal was quiet. And he said that before he had gone to see this Rav Tzviaye Me'alek, he had been mispalel. He prayed to Hashem very hard, and he thought very carefully that if they're going to get into a discussion on this topic, how he should respond. And therefore Rabbeinu Zal made up his mind not to say anything, not to comment, not to disagree. And at one point, Rav Tzviaye ben Me'alek said to him, you still don't believe me that I see? I'll give you a sign. I'll show you a sign, a clear sign that I do see. And he began again to say Torah, to speak Divrei Torah, and to try to prove that he sees. And then Rabbeinu Zal said to him, Rabbeinu Zal quoted a Gemara, where the Gemara says that there were many that wanted to expound on the secrets of the throne of Hashem, and yet they had never seen it in their life. Any questions, please?
Good day, Rabbi.
Yes.
I have a question. May I ask how you'd like to be addressed? I just want to be clear on that first.
Sure. Reb Nosson.
Reb Nosson. Very good. So what would be the purpose why Rabbi Rabbein would like to see angels or make discussions?
The answer is that this is something that's mentioned throughout the Torah. In the prophets, there are visions, the famous vision of Yechezkel HaNavi. In fact, we're coming soon to the holiday of Shavuos. This coming, a week from today, will be the holiday of Shavuos. And the Haftorah that we read on this holiest day, the holiday of Shavuos, is all about the vision that the prophet Yechezkel HaNavi had of the throne of Hashem and all the surrounding angels. And this is mentioned, this item is discussed in the Gemara in several places, in Chagiga. It seems that among the great tzaddikim, this is one of the things, this is one of the ways that they have a certain very high level connection to Hashem.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else?
Yes, question. I know that you mentioned that the Mechila at one time saw the Rebbe in a dream. Did he ever have the skills to see the mountain of this or anybody else besides the Rebbe?
The answer is not that I know of. He never spoke about that, about seeing any angels, but he did speak about seeing Rabbeinu Zal in a dream. Maybe the fact that you brought it up, and because of the fact that next week we're not going to have a shir, next week is going to be, Sunday is going to be the holiday of Shavuos, so this is the closing shir of Sfira Salima, maybe we'll mention that dream. He mentioned that this was while he was still living in Russia, in Ukraine. And it happened, the dream came towards morning. And he said he saw himself in a large room, but surrounded on all four sides by walls. And looking carefully at these walls, he saw that these walls were actually sforim shelves. They were bookcases, large bookcases filled with sforim. So he decided to go over and see what sefer it is. So he went over to the shelf, he pulled out one of the sforim, and he saw it was Likutei Halachos. He pulled out one sefer and another sefer, and he saw that he was able to see through to the other side. So he started pulling out books, and clearing a path to be able to go through, and to be able to go to the other side. And what was on the other side was actually the grave site of Rabbi Nachman, the kever of Rabbi Nachman. As it was in those days, there wasn't any matseva, there wasn't any stone, it was just a slab of stone on the floor, and he saw Rabbeinu Zal's chair, the famous chair of Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbeinu Zal sitting on the chair on top of the place where the kever is, on top of that slab of stone. So he walked over, and he saw Rabbeinu Zal was facing the other direction, he was facing away from him, and he was speaking to somebody, and he was actually speaking to a friend of Reb Michal. So Reb Michal thought he'll wait a moment or two until Rabbeinu Zal notices him and he'll turn to him. But it was going on for a while, and he said he felt very tired, he couldn't stand anymore. So he sat down on the ground. And he's watching this, he's watching Rabbeinu Zal speak to this other person. And he said he started feeling jealous that he's not even noticing me. I'm here. And started feeling bad. And then at one point, Rabbeinu Zal swiveled around as if it were a swivel chair, turned around to face him and looked at him and said, "Nu?" And he understood that "Nu" meant speak. "What's your story?" And he said he started speaking. He started saying about this situation that he was in. In communist Russia, they closed all the synagogues, they closed the yeshivas, his daughters are going to secular schools, and he's terrified, he doesn't know if they're going to be able to marry Jews. And he suddenly burst into tears, like a flood of tears came out of his eyes. And when you're crying, your eyes close and open. And then suddenly he realized that it was a dream. And he said he tried closing his eyes again to try to continue the dream. And he couldn't do it. But he said he remembered the look on Rabbeinu Zal's face, and he said the way he described it was that there was a smile, a slight smile, but with a bitterness, with a bitterness. And he said that the message that he felt was that he was being reassured that in the end, everything is going to turn out okay, but he's going to have to go through difficulty. It's going to take time before he gets to that finish line. And he said that if he were an artist, he could have drawn a perfect picture of exactly how he looked. He remembered all the features, very thin, a reddish, blondish beard. And he said that that image stayed in his mind for years, for years. A lot of times he would think he'd be davening to be able to see the image of Rabbeinu Zal in front of him. But then when I met him, which was when his older years, he said at that point already it wasn't fresh as it was at that time. And he mentioned that he had heard from other people who said they saw Rabbeinu Zal in a dream, and he asked them to describe what they saw, and it wasn't exactly the same sight that he had seen. Back to Earth. Paragraph Kuf Yud Dalet. Please.
The question is, maybe it's a bigger chapter. If a person has an opportunity to redeem all their money to live, what does it mean if they don't make that choice?
The answer is, we're going to see that there were several stories during Rabbeinu Zal's lifetime regarding pidyon, where a pidyon means that a person is doing something that's going to serve as a redemption for the person. We find that the Torah mentions a concept of serving Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with your whole life, u'b'chol mo'edecha, and with all of your wealth. And the Gemara says that a person has to be willing to serve Hashem with all of their wealth, chol moedecha. Now we know that Rabbeinu Zal once commented that a person who gives chomesh, we know that the law, the basic halacha is that a person is supposed to give 10% of any profit that they make, any salary, any of their earnings, to tzedakah, to charity. But the Gemara says a person can give up to 20%. And Rabbeinu Zal once commented that a person who gives 20% of their earnings to tzedakah, it's called chomesh, that's called serving Hashem b'chol moedecha, with all of your wealth. But there are certain cases, chas v'shalom, rachmono litzlan, where a person has a certain crisis. Here it's interesting, I heard this from Rav Rosenfeld, who quoted the Bala Tanya, that the Bala Tanya once spoke about this topic, and he said that when the Gemara says, al yevazvez yoser michoimesh, that a person should not give more than 20% of their money to charity, the reason being, because we don't want you to become poor, we're trying to eliminate poor people. If a person gives away all of their money, they're going to become poor. We're going to have another person on the poor lines. But the Bala Tanya commented about this, that this is under normal circumstances. Just like when a person has a normal, a regular type of illness, they go to a doctor, and the doctor visit costs $100, whatever it is, a certain standard type of cost. When a person, chas v'shalom, has an emergency, a crisis, when a person finds out that they have, chas v'shalom, a fatal sickness, and they want to try to save themselves, then they're looking for a specialist, and money is not, whatever it costs, if it costs $1,000 to see this specialist, I'll pay the $1,000. He should be willing to see me. And the Bala Tanya said that so too in when it comes to charity, when a person is chas v'shalom in a crisis, that type of thing, there that rule of the not giving more than chomesh doesn't apply. And it seems from this story and in other cases that there are certain instances where for whatever reason there's a certain gzera, and in order to ameliorate that gzera, it requires a person doing something drastic, something dramatic, that kind of thing. As in this case, where Rabbeinu Zal said he would have had to give away all of his money, that kind of thing. We know we're told that the Baal Shem Tov lived that way on a regular basis, that he would empty his pockets in the evening before going to sleep. He didn't want to hold on to any money for the next, for the following day, because he wanted to show bitochin, complete trust and faith, that each day Hashem gives me what I need. I don't have to save from yesterday in order to provide for today or for tomorrow, that kind of thing. But these are not standard type of circumstances and standard type of cases. And Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Likutei Tfilos, there's a prayer 123, which is one of the famous prayers in Likutei Tfilos regarding Pidyon. There, Rav Nosson Zal says that we today don't know how much a person should give. When a person comes to a rabbi, a person comes to a tzaddik, or to a messenger, and says, I have this crisis, I have this emergency, and I want to give money for pidyon. How much should I give? And Rav Nosson Zal writes, we don't know how to answer that question. We can't say. We pray that the person in the tefillah there, it says, that the person should know, that the person should be given the knowledge to know how much they need to give.
Rav Nosson, two points. One thing is, it seems that even though these rabbis were not having the vision, that the Beis Yisrael still felt very that they were a great level of rabbi. Like, you wouldn't just go to someone who wasn't there. So, do you have any comments on that?
Correct. It's very good that you're bringing that up. Because a person might get the wrong impression that, look, they said they saw, they didn't see, so maybe they were just regular people. These were not regular people at all. These were leading tzaddikim of the generation at that time. And this once again brings home this very, very important point that there are levels and levels, even among the tzaddikim. And again, nothing is coincidence. You're bringing this up. I'll share with you one of the most special things that I feel I ever heard from my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, which is a little bit related to, again, an introduction to the holiday of Shavuos. The Zohar HaKadosh, in one place, makes a comparison between the prophet Yeshaya HaNavi and Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Yeshaya HaNavi is one of the greatest tzaddikim that ever lived. One of the 24 books of the Torah is the Sefer Yeshaya, which is all of the prophecies which Yeshaya HaNavi spoke to the Jewish nation. And many of our Haftorahs that we read come from Yeshaya. And all over the Gemara, it quotes from the prophet Yeshaya. So the Zohar HaKadosh in one place says, let's analyze and let's understand the difference between Yeshaya HaNavi and Moshe Rabbeinu. In the beginning of the Navi Yeshaya, it begins with the words Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amoitz, the vision which Yeshaya the son of Amoitz saw of Hashem. And he introduces what he's going to say, and he begins with the words Shimu Shamayim v'hazini Eretz, listen heaven and listen earth, ki Hashem diber, because Hashem has spoken. Meaning I'm going to be giving over a message from Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Yeshaya HaNavi said those words, the angels heard him, and they said, who is this person? A human being says, Shimi Shamayim? He says, we should listen to him. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, they picked up metal rods to smash his head. And Yeshaya HaNavi saw these angels. Again, he was a tzaddik on that level to see these angels, and that's why he immediately said, Ki Hashem Diber. I'm not saying listen to me because I'm making a speech. I'm going to be speaking the words of Hashem, words that I received directly from Hashem. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, they put down these rods and they didn't hurt him. They didn't do anything to hurt him. Moshe Rabbeinu, shortly before he passed away, the next to the last parsha in the Torah begins, Ha'azinu Hashamayim Va'adabera. Listen, heaven, and I will speak. V'sishma ha'oretz imreifi, and listen, earth, to the words of my mouth. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said these, when he made this announcement, everything in creation stopped. Fish in the sea put on the brakes. Birds flying stopped. Angels that were on a mission, their mission was paused until Moshe Rabbeinu completed the Shira Sa'azinu. Now the Zohar HaKadosh says, let's analyze the difference between what both of them said. Yeshaya HaNavi says, Shimu Shamayim Hazinu Eretz. Moshe Rabbeinu reverses it. He says, Ha'azinu HaShamayim V'Sishma Ha'oretz. The Zohar HaKadosh explains, what's the difference between Lishmoya and Laha'azin? When a person is right next to me and I say, listen to what I'm telling you, we use the word Laha'azin. When I'm making an announcement, when I'm speaking to an audience, people that are not near me, I say Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, I'm making an announcement. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Yeshaya HaNavi was closer to earth than he was to heaven. Therefore, when he addressed heaven, he said, Shimu Shamayim. When he addressed earth, he said, V'hazini Eretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven than he was to earth. Therefore, he said, Ha'azinu Hashamayim V'sishma Ha'oretz. Yeshaya HaNavi, when he refers to heaven, he says, Shamayim, just the word Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashamayim. What is Hashamayim? Hashamayim means, I know that there isn't one heaven, there are seven heavens. There are levels and levels in Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm addressing HaShamayim, the highest one of the heavens. I'm including you also to stop and listen to what I'm going to say. V'sishma Ha'oretz, also, that there are different levels in earth, different planets, different levels. Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing the highest level. And then the Zohar HaKadosh says, look at Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Every time he spoke, he was making a yichud, a unification of Hashem's name. He says, Hashamayim va'adabero v'sishma ha'oretz. The first letters of Hashamayim va'adabero are hey vav, and then v'sishma ha'oretz, vav kei, like in Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei. Why is the Zohar HaKadosh telling us this? What's the point? The point is that we need to know that even among tzaddikim, there are levels and levels and levels. No two tzaddikim are exactly the same. We know that one of the worst mistakes that a person made is the story of Korach, where when the Jews stood at Mount Sinai, again, we're 1 week away from Shavuos, all of Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, and all the Jews were receiving prophecy. The Torah says, Ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem. Hashem spoke to us face to face. Which means that the Jews were on an incredibly high level at the time. And when Korach saw afterwards that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were leading the Jewish people and they were relegating authority, they were deciding, choosing who should be the leader. And when the leader of the tribe of Levi passed away, and they designated Korach's nephew to take over instead of him, Korach became jealous and angry, and he attacked Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And in his attack, his words were, Ki kol ha'edo kulam kedoshim. The entire Jewish community is holy. All of us are holy. U'besoichom Hashem, and Hashem is among all of us. Umadua tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why are you being bosses? Why are you lording yourselves over the people? This was Korach's attack against Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Gemara asks, and Rashi points this out over there, what gave Korach the chutzpah to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen? Didn't he see who these people were? Didn't he see the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu had performed in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, and the splitting of the Red Sea, and what took place at Har Sinai? So Rashi points out that Korach was able to see into the future, and he was able to see that there was greatness that was destined to come from him. What kind of greatness? Shmuel HaNavi, the prophet Shmuel, whose yard site is today. We didn't mention it in the beginning of the shir, that we dedicate the learning lichvoid nishmas Shmuel Hanavi, whose yard site is today. Korach saw that such greatness was destined to come from him, so that gave him the confidence and that he wasn't afraid to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. He figured, if such a great person is going to be coming from me, then I must be great also, and I don't have to be afraid. And the Gemara tells us he was mistaken. He was very mistaken, because every single person has bechira. Every single person has free choice. And even if someone's father was a great tzaddik, Esav's father was Yitzchak Avinu, and despite that, he was able to be Esav. And if a person's father is Terach, Avram Avinu had a father like Terach, and despite that, he was able to become Avram Avinu, the great Avram Avinu. So that's not a proof. Each person has Bechira, and among, when we speak about tzaddikim, they're not the same. Each tzaddik is different. There are people sometimes when someone will ask them, why don't you learn the Sfarim of this rabbi? Why don't you look into the Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nachman's Sefer? Person would say, I don't need the Quran. I have my Rebbe. I look at this different Sefer. He's also a tzaddik. And the person could be correct that person is also a tzaddik. But we know that tzaddikim are not the same. And in terms of the degree with which a tzaddik is able to help a person, in that there are levels and levels and levels. Rav Nosson Zal points out on Likutei Halachos that in order to really be able to help people who are very far from Hashem, in order to be able to take them out of the mud, out of the very low levels that they're in, and be able to raise them to high levels, it requires a tzaddik who has perfected himself, literally perfected himself. We know the Gemara says that ordinary tzaddikim are not allowed to challenge the Yetzer Hara, because there's a pasuk that says, Kivala Harosha Tzaddik Mimenu, that at times a Rosha can swallow up one who is more righteous than him, one who is more religious than him, better than him. And the Gemara says on that pasuk, Tzaddik Mimenu Boileya, Tzaddik Gomor Enoi Boileya. One who's more righteous than him, more religious than him, he can swallow. But one who is a complete tzaddik, such a person he cannot swallow. So that this issue of challenging the Yetzer Hara, a person doing outreach, reaching out to people who are far from Hashem and bringing them close to Hashem, sometimes that requires going down to their level. It requires mixing, getting involved in their problems, their issues, whether it's anger, whether it's Taivos Rois, all kinds of things. And unless a person is on a very, very high level, when they go down, they can be harmed. They can be harmed by those Taivos Rois and Midos Rois. So this is why it's extremely, extremely important to realize that among the tzaddikim, even among the greatest of tzaddikim, there are levels and levels. We know the Gemara says about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, We celebrated Lag BaOmer recently. The Gemara says there again, the Gemara describes different levels of tzaddikim and how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son were in a very unique category, even among the tzaddikim. We mentioned the story, I believe, recently, I don't remember if it was in these shiurim or other shiurim, of an incident where an angel was sent down to the world to destroy the world, because of the fact that there weren't 30 tzaddikim that were similar to Avram Avinu in the world at the time. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saw this angel, and he told him to leave. And he told him that even if there aren't 30, we see that there's a source in the Torah. When Avram Avinu was negotiating for the city of Sidon, he said to Hashem, what if there's only 20? And Hashem was willing to allow them to be saved, even if there were 20 tzaddikim. And then what if there's only 10? And Hashem was even agreeable to 10. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai took it further. And even if there aren't 10, if there are only 2 tzaddikim in the world, that's also enough to support and to sustain the entire world. Because there's a pasuk, al pi shnayim edim yokum davar, that two witnesses can uphold a statement in a court of law. The word davar means a statement in a court of law, and the world is also referred to as davar. He brought a pasuk, bidvar Hashem shamayim nasku uberuah pivkal tzvon. And then Rabbi Shimon went on to say, and even if there aren't two, meaning even if my son doesn't qualify to be one of the two that can support the whole world, then my merit alone can do it. Because he said there's a pasuk, v'tzadik yesoid oilam. A tzadik, singular, is a foundation for the world, can support the entire world. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that a voice from heaven came out and said, how fortunate are you, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that Hashem issues a decree and he gives you the ability to override, to nullify the decree. As the pasuk says, Ritzoin Yireyov Yaseh, Hashem fulfills the will of those who respect him. These stories are all intended to give us an insight regarding this topic of Emunas Chachamim, faith in tzaddikim, and faith and the realization that among the tzaddikim there are levels and levels, and there are tzaddikim who are on so high a level that they even have the ability to override a decree, a heavenly decree, other things like that. Any questions?
I was going to ask one other thing, because it was something that was asked last week, and you touched on it. The Baal Shem Tov gave away his money before at the end of each day, and we were sent, someone asked, why is it a higher level of what Rabbeinu Zal did, that he didn't give away all his money each day? Can you find anything on that?
I didn't have a chance to research it. We should be zeicha to be tachon. We should be zeicha to know when what to give away and what to hold on to, and the money that we hold on to should have bracha to it. We should be able to use it for good things only, Mr. Shem. Want to wish everybody, we started last night, Mitzoy Shabbos, we started the final week of Sfira Soimer, the week of Malchus, and we're going to be counting 7 days to get to Malchus Sheba Malchus, Kingdom of Kingdom. And that's going to be on Shabbos, this coming Shabbos. And then Saturday night, Moitzoi Shabbos, we celebrate the Yom Tov of Shavuos. We should be zeicha to prepare ourselves in the right way that we can. One of the preparations the Bnei Yisachar brings, that one of the most important things that a Jew wants to work on is improving our heart. We know that Yiddishkeit is not only an academic thing. We know that Hashem created the world with Chachma, Kulam b'Chachma Sisa, and one of the important efforts that a Jew is supposed to make in life is to increase our Chachma every day, to learn more every single day. But learning it alone, acquiring the knowledge alone, isn't enough. The pasuk says, V'yodata hayoyim v'hashevoysa elevavecha. A person needs to understand, reach an understanding, and convey it to the heart. Deliver that message to the heart. The heart is the seat of the emotions. The heart is the seat of the desires and the character traits, all inside the heart. That's where the battle takes place, especially between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And it's brought that the 49 days of the Omer, we're trying to prepare our heart. The words Lev Tov, a good heart, is Bigamatria 49. And this requires that combination that Rabbeinu Zal stresses so much, a combination of Torah and Tefillah. Learning and accompanying the learning with prayer. Always pleading with Hashem to be zeicha to understand what I learn, to retain what I learn, and to be able to apply it in my life. To know how to apply the lessons that we learn, to use this to bring us closer to Hashem. When we read about tzaddikim, and if we see that even tzaddikim on this level could make a mistake in a sense. It could seem to them that they're seeing something, they think they're seeing something, and it's not exactly what they're looking at. How much more so regarding us sometimes, when we think we see somebody doing something wrong and we're ready to jump on them. And very often there are terrible mistakes made by this, that a person thought they saw something, they thought they understood what they were looking at, and they didn't really. To know to be very, very careful and cautious and slow in judging situations, and not to assume. We say seeing is believing. There's an expression. And we know that our emunah, our faith, is much, much higher and stronger than what we see. That our faith in Hashem, I remember my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, when he introduced the series of shiurim on Rabbi Nachman's Sfarim, it was during the nighttime. He was giving the shiur at 9 o'clock at night in New York. And he said that we're going to be speaking about the words of a tzaddik here. I feel more confident and more positive about the words of the tzaddik than I feel about, if you would ask me if it's nighttime outside now. If you ask me if it's nighttime, it looks like nighttime. I think it's nighttime. But in terms of how sure I am that the words of Torah are the words of truth, it's the word of Hashem, and that we believe that every single word of the Torah is the ultimate truth, that's much stronger even than what we see. We should be zeichet to that kind of emunah in Hashem and emunah tzaddikim, and be zeichet to get to welcome on Shavuos. Shavuos is the yahrzeit of King of David HaMelech, and there, the rabbis write that probably it was also his birthday, because Hashem completes the years of tzaddikim. And we're going to read Rus about the birth of David HaMelech coming into the world. We should be zeichet to see the final descendant of David HaMelech, the coming of Moshiach ben David, and the Gula Shleima b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Rav Nassim. Also, want to give a special bracha to everyone because it's my Hebrew birthday today.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.